Well, I have just refreshed my beverage. Ooh. I don't know if you can hear it tinkle Ooh. Or not.
Very nice, very nice.
But anyway, welcome aboard the Funny Boat Podcast.
Oh boy.
Excuse
me. That's what I'm saying, right? That's
what you said. Oh my God. So sorry, y'all. This is such good podcasting, isn't it? Aren't you proud of me?
Oh, she did say you were out of mixer.
I am out of mixer. Oh, no.
Little hot mixer. High
Lordy,
octane.
Lordy. With me, as always, is the furry-faced and fabulous, the broker with the beard, Ed Pickering. How are you doing, Cap?
I am doing fantastic, Captain Boomies. How about yourself?
So good for audio. I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm insanely excited about our guest tonight. It is David Shee from David Shee Sales. I cannot tell you how much I love his content, but we have to talk about some exciting things that's happening with his content.
Yeah.
Ooh. And David, how are you, man? Welcome aboard.
I'm great. Sorry I'm an hour late, but here.
You're right on time.
Mixed
You're
up right the time zones. I'm glad you guys were able to keep yourselves company for an hour. And how long have you guys been waiting?
You missed the conversation, my friend, let me tell you.
I find that like the best part of podcasts are the before you start recording, and then you're like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
So you can always keep that running. You've got to be like, okay, we're done, and then just let it run, and then you get to stop at the very end, you know?
We would be canceled in a heartbeat.
That's okay. But then at least it's the truth, right?
Right.
Yeah. At least it's the truth.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just going to jump right into it and talk about the fact that you are my favorite sailing YouTuber.
Oh.
And don't tell anybody I said that because I'll get in trouble.
I won't. I'm so touched.
You are my favorite sailing YouTuber.
I love that. Thank you. You're the best. And you're my favorite podcaster.
Ooh. Oh, go team. However, I went to search for you recently.
Okay.
And you're not there.
I'm not. It's
what
crazy.
Happened?
Okay, so we are I don't know how delayed you are in releasing, but we are Monday right now. And Friday, Mary and I were at a coffee shop. We're going to bang out all our we're behind on taxes. We're like doing our taxes.
Mary is your beautiful wife.
Mary is. Yeah, she's my better half.
Okay.
And I get this email from YouTube. It's like super just like simple, straight to the point. Hey, you violated community guidelines repeatedly and severely with sexual content and nudity. And we have removed your channel. We've terminated your channel.
Oof.
And you can never make another channel. You cannot be prominently featured in another channel. And we have to protect our users. And I'm like, what? we are literally the only, not only, but maybe like out of two or like one of two or three channels that have no TNA.
Right.
None. I and not by choice. Like, I think the best way to grow a sailing channel is through TNA. I'm friends with some of the most TNA channels because they're doing very, very well. You know? And so we have no channel. So, of course, I'm like freaking out. Okay, this is Friday.
Yeah.
3 days ago, I'm freaking out. I'm like, what the hell? What is happening? And there's like a little appeal button, and they're like, make sure you read all the guidelines. They don't tell you anything. They just tell you like, okay, sexual content, nudity, and like it's an egregious offense for you to lose your channel instantly. Because usually they're supposed to, they'll like give you strikes, and they might like take out videos or whatever. And obviously, we have none of that. Like, literally none of that. Like, sometimes I'm not wearing a shirt, but, like, that's... So, we filed an appeal, and on Friday, like, within the hour, and you have 800 characters to, like, state your case.
My gosh.
I mean, like, to the best of my ability, I guess. I mean, I did some quick research on, like, words that you're supposed to use. So, essentially, you have to just try to get it so the the algorithm, whatever, the AI, like, decides that a human needs to review it. And then once a human looks at it, then that should resolve it. But to get to that, it could, I don't know, man. I have no idea. I don't know. Like, I'm super hopeful, of course, but, like, it's like weeks, if not months, sometimes. Yeah. And
are you
what's that?
Where else are you uploading these videos, though?
Because yeah, like YouTube, YouTube too. Like,
no, but you got to be on like Vimeo or
Why
Rumble
would you be on Vimeo?
Something.
No, you're at like you got on YouTube, and then you build it.
The Vimeo would have the other stuff.
So no, yeah, I'm nowhere. I mean, we're nowhere. So like, literally, it's just like snap of a finger. Your entire life and business is just
done.
It's like, yeah, you're over. Like you're.
Yeah, and it's crazy that they said terminated. Like not even, you know.
Yeah. Which
we shut you down to like terminated. Like that's.
Yeah.
The back end of that is scary. I would think.
It is. It's crazy. I'm like, you know, happy go lucky about it, but I'm not like. This is like a perfect lesson. To my kids, I'm like, hey, this is me staying like even keel, calm, I'm collected. There's no stress, doesn't achieve anything.
Right.
And I'm like, but I'm still like not sleeping at all because like my entire life, like everything I believe in and have worked towards like in the past, I don't know, 3-4 years is like it's not there anymore. It's not even like, oh, we're not gonna show it to people. No, it's just like deleted. It's like you don't exist. Yeah,
so I hope then, you have backups.
No, I do. I have all the content, of course, but like that's not. Yeah, so it's just gone. So then you know, I start getting text messages like, why did you delete your channel? I get calls, and then by the next day on the Sailing YouTube Facebook group, someone's like, where did this channel go?
Yeah,
and I didn't see it. I didn't know about it. But then like the responses are epic. Like that will make a video. They're like, oh, he quit, because there's a lot of sailing channels quitting. And then they're like, yeah, he just quit, he deleted it, obviously. And then the next day it was like he passed. So like I died. I was dead. I'm like, oh my god, I've made it. Like people are taking
we think you're dead.
Amazing. Like I can't believe it. Like this is like you've made it if there's people that don't know you that are talking about or faking your death or spreading rumors of your death. Yeah. And then there's comments that come back that are like, oh, he's so kind to have like come back and commented to give us an update on his channel after dying.
Right.
I'm not even offended.
If only you could have that insight data from people searching for you as a dead David Shee Sales.
Yes.
Or David Shee Sailed.
Yes. If we ever get the channel back, we'll change it to David Shee Sailed.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let me back up a little bit because not everybody who listens to this podcast is one a sailboater. Some of them are power boaters.
Oh, good.
Some of them
I'm
know
more
nothing.
Power boater, to be honest.
We'll talk about that in a bit. But they don't know what this whole sailing channels thing is. In fact, the only sailing channels we've really had on are Red Seas and
Andy Hesketh.
Does he count? I feel like he's a podcaster first and foremost, and then
he counts.
Then a sailing channel.
Well, he's
after
like podcaster about sailing channel, so kind of count.
Okay.
Not powerful.
And then and Tools Endless Summer.
Oh, they're awesome.
Everybody else we've had on is like industry heavyweights or. People who are, you know, doing charter businesses really just interesting maritime adjacent businesses.
So
whenever I get the sailing channels on, it's very interesting because there's this, hey, you're so much more exposed already than any of the people that we get on normally. So you're just coming in and you're dumping your whole purse out right now.
True, huh? Most people don't do that, but we're used to doing that. Our lives always out there, so there's like nothing to hide.
But I'm just devastated because I really do think that the content you create is so enjoyable, so well produced, so clever, so beautiful, so much fun. And that I'm devastated that I can't even send people somewhere to go see.
Like right now, we're literally just like, hey, this is the thing that you can't go see.
Yeah.
Like when you search it, it'll be like, it's gone. It's not actually, it's not gone. It doesn't exist. It's like, it never existed.
And you're just coming off the heels of the Annapolis Boat Show, which is like the Super Bowl of sailing YouTube channels every year.
It's crazy because we sat down with a bunch of different companies. We have deals that are like have been in the works for years that are like coming to fruition.
Oh,
and
my God.
I'm supposed to go to FLIBS to meet with, you know, different meetings for these things that we're going to get possibly. Some electric motors, possibly stuff, whatever, lots of stuff, right?
Right.
Now I don't want to explain this to them, although now they're definitely going to hear because it's on your podcast. Because it's like, oh, okay, we're going to give you.
I do very well at FLIBS, by the way.
we're going to give this guy like 50 grand worth of gear, and now we have to wonder if like he even exists, you know?
Right.
Even if even if it comes back, which it will, but like hopefully. But
for those that don't know, FLIBS is the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. I knew I was going to have to do a lot of this with you, David, and so please, I apologize for interrupting
No, not at all. You do, this is actually a very, very important part of making videos.
Yeah, sure. Apologize to David.
To break down like exactly what's happening and what terms we're using and who the people are, and it took me years to figure that out. So you're excellent. Feel lost, and they're like, why am I watching this? And they just move on.
Well, it's such a okay. So here you are. You're this wonderful. You're this delightful ray of sunshine.
Absolutely.
Who went face first at sailboating and YouTube simultaneously, and you just smashed those two things together. And all with all of your heart, and I feel like every gushy pump of blood spurting out at my eyeballs every time I watch your stuff.
I love and it. You are who I'm making videos for. I'm no joke. It's true. Like we do. Mary and I put so much like love and effort and like everything into the videos, you know. And like not everybody really gets it, but like the people that do, I feel like they appreciate it, and we just make it for ourselves. Like this is what we love. We love making these videos. I love it. Like there's nothing that gives me more joy than like creating something that's fun and like engaging and heartfelt and whatever, and then like being able to give that, just like you're saying, like, hey, here's the verse, all of it. And
I feel like I'm getting additional children from you. I feel like I'm literally taking your infants. Like, I know this has gotten very macabre, but like, I feed off of it. It's why I look so young.
You're welcome.
That and sunscreen, people. Wear your sunscreen. Okay, so here you are. You have this brilliant mind for creating content and telling stories, and it's wonderful. And then you have this boat. And for those who don't know your boating story, can you give us a little
where
that started and how you got here?
Absolutely. So we watched sailing YouTube channels. We watched van life. We watched sailing. We were doing a little van life thing, and then we were like, let's go be sailors. Like, we could do this. Let's sell all of our stuff. Let's buy a boat. We need a bigger one because we have a big family. We got four kids. And it was like going to be a catamaran because I watched this one channel I watched two channels I was like fixated on, is The Winds and Harley Revival. And they both had catamarans. I watched other ones as well, like Nahoa and Zatara's. But like they had the boats that were most fitting for us. So it was like a Leopard 40-something, 44, I think The Winds had. Mm-hmm. And then Colin with Parlay Revival had a Lagoon 450. So when it was time to buy a boat, we were like, okay, we need one of those boats. We settled on the Lagoon 450. We bought it and then discovered that it had just really badly broken bulkheads, which meant nothing to me at the time. But it just like the foundation of your boat is broken. It's like the two.
I'm having such anxiety. Like, I know the story, and I'm sitting here sweating, like, just thinking about broken bulkheads. Like, there is nothing more. Honestly, it's disgusting right now. My armpits are drenched from the anxiety I have, like, hearing broken bulkheads. So, yeah, you didn't know. As a professional, I hear that, and I'm like, throw it in the dumpster. Like, what are you doing?
You feel the way you do because you know what you're talking about. Right. For me, I was like, broken bulkheads, dude, it's fine. Like, I'll set aside an extra 10K, and then I'll fix it myself for, like, a couple thousand. It's fine. And I was actually the one that caught the broken bulkheads because around this time, Colin had discovered on his boat, the same boat, that his Lagoon 450 had some kind of broken bulkhead. So, yeah, I mean, my surveyor missed it. I came back and I found it. And then it wasn't that big of a deal. I negotiated a bunch of stuff off. I think we got like 35 extra thousand off the deal. And then we went into it thinking it was like a small thing. And then that's, you know, okay. You buy the boat.
I need to step in again, and I need to explain what we're talking about. So a bulkhead on boats are the walls. It's the structure of the boat. And generally people find out that they have structural problems, broken bulkheads, things like this, when their cabinet doors stop closing the way they expect them to, or their doors on board stop closing the way they expect them to. Something like that happens. And it's usually something kind of minor, but I watched your videos. Yours wasn't minor. It was not minor. It was a good, like, 3 inches had shifted within the wall that's supposed to hold each of the pontoons of your catamaran being two pontoons. And the wall that's supposed to hold those two things together was separating in a way that the whole vessel was sort of crunching in on itself. And when you stripped away the veneers, you could see it had shifted like 3 inches, which is structurally horrifying.
That's
to me.
That's crazy.
Sure.
It would be like your house sinking 3 inches on one side.
Yeah. And then you have the rigging, that's helping it shift because the rigging is creating tension.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you're holding, for those of you that aren't watching, you know, imagine I'm holding the two pontoons. I'm like a giant. I'm holding the boat, and I'm one hand on each of the hulls, and then I break it apart, like from the bottom, pull the bottoms apart, and then I bring it up, just like the rigging would be pulling it up, and that's exactly what was happening. So at the wall, it was shifting about 3 inches. On the edges, on the outside of the boat, was shifting like six.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I halfway wonder what that's done to your efficiency in the water. What are your speeds on that boat?
It's great. Like, we surf down waves kind of fast, but a lagoon is so slow anyways. I mean, it's a gigantic hull, super beamy, which means wide.
Right.
So it's a slow boat anyways. But yeah, we fixed it. It took the story is I hunted down this channel, Parlay Revival, because they had the same issue, and figured out that they were in Panama, got in touch, you know, through every different medium I could, and eventually got a hold of Colin, and I was like, hey, can I come down there? And he was like, I mean, like, you can go wherever you want. Like, I can't stop you. He didn't say that, but he was like, yeah, I'm like, okay. And then, because I was in St. Martin, so that's like a week away of sailing, right? I didn't know how to sail. So, long story long, I got some captains. If I had known Captain Boomies back then, I'd be like,
I wouldn't have gone. I wouldn't have done it.
She's like, hell no.
So, we sailed a week down there, showed up, and we're like, hey. And then we hauled out next to them, and, you know, I was going to fix the boat in like 6 weeks, max. Like, I had my mom come down, watch the kids. And Mary came down and helped a little bit, and it was like 3 to 6 weeks. I'm gonna fix this whole thing, and then it ended up being like a year. So,
Oh, Lord.
Good grief.
Oh my God, I feel still so horrified for you and so impressed.
Well, it's only because you don't know. Like, I didn't know back then. If I knew what you know or what I know, we would just be like, I'm going to write it off. Like, this is not possible. It's not possible. Unless you don't know, and then you just, like, literally take it a step at a time, and you're like, oh, I thought I was done, and I've just begun. And then you're like, okay, I'm about to be done now. And then, no, you're just starting now.
Yeah, and then you turn around, and you're like, well, I've gotten this far. Might as well keep going.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
like,
I can't stop now.
I've grinded away everything, so there's, like, I cannot put this boat back in the water. There's no support now at all. It's in the yard. It's on blocks. So, like, if we moved it anywhere, the boat would just separate completely. So at that point, I couldn't even sell the boat. That's when I probably would have given up. Like, at that point, I was like, I can't do this. But then it would just be throwing away all of our money, and I just did it. I mean, I didn't do it. I just copied what they were doing next door. So that was strategic. They were next door fixing their bulkheads. I was next to them. And then I learned from them.
Right.
Okay.
Very slowly.
So I'm done talking about what a babe in the woods you were.
Thank you.
Because then you went and you did something even that made you very salty, and that is you crossed the Pacific.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Almost like he forgot. Oh, yeah.
I did that. Yeah, like, oh, yeah. That month of your life. You sailed across the Pacific. You sailed across the equator to do it.
Ooh, haven't done that.
I know, I haven't done that.
Haven't got, like, my shell back yet.
I haven't done that. And that's an incredibly salty thing to. Did you get a tattoo for it? What is the
I'm
tattoo?
I'm supposed
for that?
To. I need to get a sparrow. I think I have enough to get a sparrow.
Yeah, 5,000 miles is your sparrow.
Yeah, I've got at least that. I've got probably like 7 or something like that. So. But
yeah,
I've heard like the real sailors, they like wait till they get 20 and they just get like 4 sparrows at once. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any. I'm too vain to put tattoos on myself. What if I have a dress that it doesn't work with? Like, are you kidding me? I'm not doing that.
That's exactly why I haven't. One, it would be a whole flock.
There you go.
But two, the dress.
So, okay, that is impressive. As somebody who's a new sailor, I assume this was also the first time that you were really having to stand watches and worry about the complete darkness that is the ocean.
Yeah, that's part. Okay, so here's how it works. Like, for people that are cruising, you never really have set plans. Your plans are just always changing, right? Which means opportunities are always just coming up that you can jump on for your own boat. Like, I can go here, I can go there. Oh, I need to leave because there's a storm coming. You're just used to that. So I was around that lifestyle, being in Panama for a year with all these sailors living in a marina, in a boatyard, that I just became used to that. So I was always, our plans were just all over the place. Like, you want to come sail across the Pacific? Like, my answer would just be, yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know how we're going to organize that. Like, Mary's going to stay home with the kids. I'm going to leave for a month, actually more like 5 weeks to prep the boat and then sail. And then you're there and, you know. So it was a lot of just, hey, we'll figure it out along the way. So that's where most of our opportunities came from. By the time I was crossing the Pacific, we had sailed to St. Martin, and we had also gotten our boat back home already. Which
So you've done that Texas channel, run.
Yeah. If I had a YouTube channel, I could point you to that videos that are happening right now.
On episode negative.
Yeah. So I had already, you know, done plenty of watches. Here's the kicker. Like, I didn't know how to sail when we got the boat. I fixed the whole boat. I became like this bulkhead expert, second to Parlay. But like, I am a master fiberglasser now. But I still didn't know how to sail at the time. Mm. But by now, I'm friends with Colin and Jamie on Parlay. I'm friends with all these sailors. I'm like a salty sailor. Like, people come to me to like ask for advice on like, what do you do in San Blas? It's like Island Chain in Panama. Or, hey, when should we go, you know, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I know. I mean, I've heard people say it a million times. I can regurgitate. So, like, we're splashing the boat, and I timed it perfectly because my friends on Parlay had already left, and then they were swinging back over for a couple of days to clear out a container they had in storage. So they had left, sailed Panama, they're back, and I'm planning my like completion of my repairs and my splashing so they can be there, because I don't know how to even dock my own boat. So like I needed them to be there to help me. Otherwise, right. I would just be like, I have to go to the marina and be like, hey, guys, I don't even know how to sail my own boat. Drive it. Can you guys? It would just be embarrassing. So Colin was there. They helped me do all that. We pull it into a slip. And then he's like, why aren't you driving? I'm like, dude, I don't know how to sail. Like, oh, my God, dude. I had to teach you how to, like, sink your boat. And then now I got to teach you. It's like, it's kind of his, like, he can't just leave me hanging, you know? So he's like, hey, come sail through Panama with us. And, like we'll figure it out. So, like, he took me out for a crash course. I knew a little bit. Like, I watched tons of videos, right? And then on our first passage, Jamie, his first mate, came along with me. And, yeah, so I learned how to sail during this time. And then eventually I brought my boat 2 weeks back to Texas. So we had already been through plenty of night watches, trying to avoid pirates, mm-hmm. all sorts of weird stuff like that. And then crossing the Pacific, it was much easier. And especially you're on somebody else's boat and they are, you know, like super, super experienced. So, and they're on the same boat that I had. So it was like, it's kind of a perfect yeah. situation, you know, especially for me learning, like I'm just like completely prepared for my own boat now. So we, even down to like where the utensils and coffee goes, I set up my boat exactly the same way their boat is set up. Just cause
nice, smart.
I spent more time on their boat in the beginning anyways, because I was working on my boat, living on their boat. And so it's the same. Like if you get on, anybody that's been on both boats, they're like, oh, this is all the same. This is weird.
It's the same boat.
I know where everything is, because you naturally gravitate towards different areas for stuff. So.
Right.
So this is really interesting. I you said something earlier that surprised the heck out of me, which is that you didn't know Colin before you showed up in Panama. I assumed you guys had been buddies from college or something crazy like that. But then I thought about it a little harder, and it's like, no, Colin was a yachty. And he and I have had moments where we're both looking at each other going like, do I know you?
Yeah, you guys might know each other.
It's like, were you in St. Bart's that in 20? I hope not. I had no idea. I assumed you guys had known each other forever because, you did incorporate so much of what you were doing with what they were doing. And Colin is a Parlay Revival, he's a yacht engineer, mm-hmm. so I completely understand him and what his knowledge base is and where he is coming from in terms of all of his boat repair, boat maintenance,
sure.
standing watches.
Mm-hmm.
He and I are going to be on the same page on a lot of those things. So to watch you interact with him, I just assumed you must be buddies because it would be like taking on a green deckhand.
No, it was 100% taking on a green everything.
Yeah.
Not just a green deckhand. Like, yeah, I mean, no, it's just, but I kind of just felt like it was going to work, and luckily it worked. If it didn't, I don't know. I really don't know what would happen. But I was just kind of like, hey, we'll probably kind of like become friends. And then, like, he'll probably, like, show me how to fix my boat. And then, like, I won't bug him too much. It was weird for the first couple of months. Like, dude, it's like me pulling up my car and I'm going to, like, my van, and I'm going to sleep in your driveway. But you're also sleeping in your van on your driveway. So, like, every day, like, we see each other 10, 20 times a day. And we're like, hey, how's it going? There's, like,
So I want to talk about your wife again, though, because
for sure.
all of the things you're saying are insane. And that means that you have a partner who is willing to let you go after this wild ride of piracy and sailing.
Piracy and sailing, totally. That's a good way to describe it.
I mean, you literally, you basically tiki rafted in the Caribbean. A junk boat, and you have a beautiful wife who, honestly, I don't know what she's doing. she could have anybody. She's so gorgeous. And your many, many children, and you, how did you convince her that this was a good idea? That screw van life, we're going boats.
So she's actually the one that was like, hey, why? Because we were van lifing, and we were like, I was like, hey, let's go home, and we were California coast. We were cruising down Santa Ooh. Cruz, driving, you know, Santa Cruz is probably like I want to say like 20 miles to drive through. We spent a week driving through Santa Cruz, literally just, you know, going a mile or two a day, just taking it in. Like, my point is, we're relaxing and we're in the van and we're like living it up and like we're just one with the world and like away from the house. And I was like, we're done. Like, I don't need anything that's at home. And she's like, I don't even remember what we have at home. Like, I don't remember anything. And I was like, okay, great. Let's go home. Let's build our dream van. We're going to sell this van, buy a new van, like longer, taller, build it out. And we're just going to like quit our jobs. I had already quit, but she hadn't. And this is what we're going to do. And then we get home, we start researching a van, and we're watching the sailing channels. And she's like, why would we get a new van, David, when we could get a boat? And I'm like, because like we can't afford a boat. Like, a van is like 50K, a used one, and then I build it. I'm going to like build it with my bare hands, maybe put 20K into it. And a boat is like, I don't know, 300-500K, you know? And she was like, nah, we'll figure it out. I was like, yeah, you don't need to convince me. I want to convince you. Like, this is irresponsible. I'm all about irresponsible, but like, you know? So yeah, she used to work in finance, and she was working in like hospital operations. So she was like, hey, we're selling this, we're selling that. We got rid of all of our cars first, like right in the beginning. So like we just got rid of all of our like big stuff. Mm-hmm. And reduce all of our expenses, and then started selling stuff. So that's how the whole boat thing came about. So it was kind of her.
It's her fault.
Yeah. So like, it was easy, and then she's just. It's weird because like we've been together 18 years now. So back then we were together about 15 years, right? And in the beginning, her whole approach to every question, every suggestion that I have, whether it's like, hey, where do you want to go eat, or hey, let's go try this new place. Or let's go travel to somewhere new. Her answer is no. It's like, just first answer is always no. And then here are all, I'll figure out the reasons why no later, but like, let me just tell you no on whatever idea you're saying. And like, this is why we shouldn't do that. And this is why we should go to the beach, because we're gonna have fun. And this is why we shouldn't go eat at that place. So like, we've had fights about that like decades ago, right? And like, she finally got that like stopped. She was like, okay, I'll like try everything. And I guess she really enjoyed that. So then, it was like perfect, not perfect timing, but that was like the genesis of like why any of this is even possible. Because it's like, oh, the boat might be broken. Shh, let's buy it anyways. It'll work out. And she's like, yes. Because like she has to just try yes for everything. Out. Yeah. So then it's like, hey, I'm going to go to Panama. Well, how are you going to get it there? Yeah, go for it. And then I'd be like, I don't think I can do it. And she's like, hey, you know the rule. You have to say yes. Yeah. You know, we find random captains in St. Martin, and then, you know, they want to go. So it's kind of like from the very beginning, everything has been this ragtag. Let's just make it happen. Things will work out. We're over, like, we're stretched thin, but it's going to be fine. It, up until this point, like right now, it's like, is this going to work? Like, yeah. Like, in 5 years, we're going to look back on this moment. We'll have this podcast, and I'll tell you about the other struggles that we're dealing with now, you know?
Right.
Do you understand why I love this guy so much? He's really going after it in a way that I don't think you find very often in people. I'm so impressed that your energy has totally about-faced your wife. I think you've even inspired a bunch of people who watch your content.
Absolutely.
To really go after some stuff. You might have even convinced me to take on some more adventurous delivery boats than I would ever normally take.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, okay? Like, now that I've sailed on several boats, many boats that have been refitted from like new ones to broken ones like my own, and they're like refitted gears, you know, $50,000 of repairs. And like on that first passage during a delivery, or what would have been a delivery, but it happens to be they're moving it themselves, like everything breaks, including my
everything
own.
Breaks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I would never do what you do. I think you're crazy. I genuinely do. Why would you ever step on like somebody else's boat? And then it's kind of like you know, people that skydive. Like you would never just go pick up somebody else's parachute. Like no, not a chance. But right. That's what it's like when you go do a delivery. Like something is gonna break. Like and
yeah,
minimum like the impellers and belts are gonna break because they're old and they're like rusty. You're gonna break bolts trying to change those. That's just the very very like basic thing that's definitely gonna go wrong. And then like sails, I guess you're doing power, but then even more things to break. Like
I do both power and sail. So let me just give you some tips right now. Okay. Why not? Like, so some of the things that I'm gonna do anytime that I prep to do. Are you writing this down?
Yeah.
Anytime that I go to do a delivery, I do have a checklist that I go through. If it's a sailboat, yeah, I'm raising the sails at the dock. I want to see them. I want to take a look at them. I want to know that they're in good condition. I want to know I can reef them if I need to. When it comes to the engines, oh, yeah, you better believe I've got spares of every type on board. It's actually in my contract for deliveries that you must provide me spares of impellers, belts, filters, all the normal stuff. I literally put it in the contract. And then if it's a long passage, I have an engineer go in and do a full service on those engines anyway beforehand, because they're going to discover stuff like, hey, the oil is a little grittier than I would like for you to set out from New York to Florida, for example. So it's one of these things where I do have a lot more surprise control, I'm going to call it.
Okay. From experience, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah. and it has everything to do with the fact that if you've got good checklists in place, you're going to be able to make those passages. So, for example, you talk about the trip you did with Colin to cross the Pacific. I guarantee you that part of the reason you had to do a week beforehand was the provisioning prep alone had a lot to do with what supplies you needed to have on board in order to safely and comfortably make it across.
Totally.
I mean, even things like the spare parts for your air conditioning unit, you need those on board. And while they're hard to get in Panama, like, you're still going to wait and make sure that they show up. You're going to wait and make sure that that spare sail shows up as well. Because if you're crossing an ocean and everything else gives up on you, you need at least that.
Yeah.
So I think that I weirdly think that you're doing it in a way that is so smart. It's actually very similar to how I gained all of my experience in that I learned from captains who had more experience than I did.
Yeah.
And I sailed under them for so many years until 100%. I could do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that actually equates to more than just sailing, because I met you, David, 2 years ago at the Annapolis Boat Show. Yeah. Bumped into you. You were at like the Highfield booth or whatever. And,
oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey, sorry to interrupt you. Big fan, you know, ta-da-da. I said, I'm trying to do some podcasting myself, and I want to do, I'd like to get, you know, do YouTube. And you're like, just do it. You know, here's my number. You gave me your cell number. You're like, text me, ask me questions. And I was stupid enough to do it. And you were stupid enough to respond. And you were like, oh, you're the broker with the beard. I remember you. How you doing, man? And so it just carries on for more than just the sailing and that sort of thing. You know, it's we were talking earlier about how much energy you bring to it, and you've done that every time that we've interacted. There's been that energy, and I think you're right. It's that passion. It's doing what you love doing, and what you feel like you're supposed to be doing, and it's great to see that out there. Rather than, you know, it's not just, well, you know, the formula says I need to do this, this, yeah. and this. And,
well,
and
no, then... we've all, I've done the formula, you know. I used to work in oil and gas. I'm in a super secure job, mm-hmm. excellent bonuses. I mean, respect of my mother. But I'm unhappy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I'm not like this at all. I'm very not happy every day. Like, I have right. to go smile at some guy that is my boss. I just, why am I doing this? Like, what am I doing with my life? So mm-hmm. finally getting to do this, which is like, I'm, like I was telling you, making these videos, we love it. Yeah. Like, learning how to like make things happen with whatever we're doing. It happens to be sailing at the moment, or fixing a boat and moving aboard. It's like, whoop, we figure it out. And I don't know. I get a lot of, I get like fuel from all that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel good. Yeah. I love it. So, I want to do stuff I love, which also means like I'm like over time, over the past couple of years, like getting away from people we don't like we don't mm-hmm. hang out with people that whatever, you know, all the stuff that you're supposed to do, like all
right,
they suck from
this
you.
Sounds
it's not negative.
Really
whatever.
Healthy, gross.
Yeah, yeah. What's up with like that?
I don't know, but it's also high risk. It's like totally yeah. high risk, and like I don't know what's happening. Like I don't ever know what's happening. Like right now, this is the perfect example. Like, yeah, I don't right. know if we have a business. I don't know if I'll ever get to make another YouTube video. But like the first night, I'm like, what am I going to do? Okay, I'm going to start a sec. I don't even mind. Can I just be honest? I don't even sure. mind if they deleted our channel and they were like, start fresh. I would be totally fine with that. That would not stress me out one bit. I've spent the past yeah. couple of years trying to like master making YouTube videos, and I'm nowhere close, but I finally have like an idea of the formula, okay? The thumbnail, the title, the intro. I can make a video that like gets a certain amount of views to my satisfaction, finally, after like 3 or 4 years of doing this. So like I could start over. And if I can't do it by starting over because I don't have the skills, then I never really had it anyways, and it was just a fluke and whatever, you know what I mean? But the problem is, if this termination like continues and doesn't get resolved or absolved or whatever, I'm not allowed to like ever make another YouTube video, which freaks me out. But then yesterday I was like, I've wanted to do podcasts forever, and like Spotify didn't ban me, so like literally, if there's no other choice, like I'll just go, like dive into podcasts, and I'll be friends with you guys, and you guys.
Fabulous. I encourage it. Honestly, I think that you would be uniquely suited to it because you are an amazing storyteller.
Oh,
and that would be, and you connect with people. You convinced strangers to help you fix a boat. That's yeah. freaking insane. Like,
I stumble. I mean, that was they. Colin, Jamie, Parlay. Yeah. Those guys are epic. Like they are true sailors that just cannot leave a fellow person behind. Whether it's in like you don't know enough and you just like cannot let you go sail on your own. You're gonna kill yourself. I'm gonna help you, or you know, whether it's fixing the boat. I mean, it's not just that. I mean, it's years. Like we spent a year and a half together, like right. learning, like YouTube too. Like he's the one that was like, hey, you need to, you know, put some videos up. Like, what are you doing?
Look, like, I'm in the same boat as you. Like Captain Boomies, that channel gets neglected a lot. And I've got people that are yelling at me that like, hey, you haven't uploaded in a couple months. And I'm like, I know. Oh, but it's because my heroes are David Shee and your epic editing, and
oh, thank
I
you.
Have a very hard time putting out content that isn't at least close to your standards.
But no, I've told you this, but my trick is—I honestly believe, I genuinely believe this, and most people don't take me seriously when I tell them this. But I knew nothing about editing when I started. But I had really good taste. And the thing is, everybody has really good taste. No, seriously, you know what's good. You never like watch, you never go to a restaurant and think like, was that good? Like, I can't tell if it was good or bad. No, you know if it's good. You may not be able to go back there and make it, but you know it's good. You know, like, that was amazing. That video, that was epic. I don't know what it was, but I felt it. Like, it was amazing. Like, that was great. So satisfying. Like the story was like, okay, so if you have taste, then it's just a matter of time. And if you notice, my uploads are really spread out because I spend a lot of time trying to figure out that correct taste. And I don't, there's no secret. You just do it like 20 times, like every single edit and transition and whatever, even talking to the camera, like I'd say it a bunch of times until I'm like, oh, that's it. From your end, it looks like, oh, wow, he's so good at this. How did he know how to do it like that? Well, I had like 20 to pick from, and I right? I popped each one of those 10 in the whole edit, and I like watch it through and how it connects with the next bit and the transitions. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. That's 90% of it is like, this sucks. And one day you guys will talk to Mary and she'll tell you too. Like, I'm editing and I storm out of the room and I'm like, this is crap. I can't do it. I suck. Like, no one's going to like this. I hate it. And then you sit back down and you do it another 20 times and you're like, oh my God, that looks so good. That was epic. Yeah. And then I keep that one bit. And then I repeat the process for the next segment.
Next 20 seconds.
Right, yeah.
Whereas like most channels put out a video a week, like I spent maybe, I don't know, 10 weeks on a video, which we're going to have to fix that, but I'm just giving you the secret. Like, I spent 10 weeks on a video. Of course that video is going to be better than if I spent a week. You know, so it's not really fair to compare, because if I can do what I do but in a week, then okay, maybe that's impressive. But anybody can sit down and just start editing. You watch someone else's stuff, you're like, that's cool. Like, why was that cool? Okay, cool. Let me adopt some of their stuff, make it my own, and learn how to do it, and you're the same. So you can do it. Anybody can do it.
I love that. You're such a sunshiny, like, upbeat human. It really shocks me that I like you, because normally I'm into the pessimists of the world.
There's a lot of pessimism in our lives. Like, I think that's the truth of it. Like, you know, all of the crazy stuff that's happening. But there's also, like, some really cool stuff that's happening. Like, it's pretty awesome to, like, you know, sail the world. It's pretty damn cool to be, like, oh, I make YouTube videos. Like, there's so much to just love. So I focus on that stuff a little too much and then, like, neglect the other stuff very frequently. So, like, if you talk to Mary, it's the opposite. It's like, dude, stop being so happy. Like, life isn't that good. Like, you're neglecting. We're years behind on our taxes. Why are you not worried? So hence why we were doing our taxes on Friday. And we
I was going to say, that deadline definitely passed.
We got a message from our accountant, and they were like, so this year also you didn't do it. And then, so we're doing it now.
Yeah.
No more delays.
God, I love this. Okay, all right. So now you know how to sail.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about sailing?
What's my favorite part about that I can do this? So, like, that I can live on a boat and make videos and go around the world. So, for me, I'm, like, the worst sailor. That's why I feel like it's the best, like, I'm the best fit for this
power
boat-esque podcast, right? Because, like, I run my engines when I sail. Like, I remember watching Colin talk about this all the time when I didn't know the guy on Parlay. And when he would turn off the engines and you're just under wind power, he's like, we're sailing, baby. And you hear the wind, you feel the wind, you're just free, and there's just not a care in the world, and no engine going, no dirty smell. Like, I don't care about any of that. I run my engines the whole time. Not even one engine, I run both engines.
Both of them bad boys.
And, yeah, like, you run one engine and you get like a few knots, like when you're motor sailing, and then you run that second engine and you get like half a knot more. Like, maybe not. So it's like, definitely no need to run two engines ever.
Right. And,
I run two engines. I want to get there. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, why do you want to be out here sailing? So I'm not the best person to ask about, like, what do you love most about it? I'm happy that I know how to do it. I'm happy I know how to, like, do it safely, and that I can, it facilitates everything else that I want to do in this world.
So I halfway wonder if we should just be assigning you, like, obstacle courses that you have to do with, like, one of your children strapped to you.
Sure.
Like, I feel like that would be a really successful life for you.
Oh.
This is so intriguing to me, because, like I said, I just think your life, your energy, your pursuit of this weird sailing thing is so refreshing. I now think I understand why it's so appealing to me personally, and it has to do with the fact that you are approaching it from such a different angle than I ever did. And then you're so honest about it, and the fact that you've got this yes no thing in your life with your wife, that it completes the whole picture.
Yeah.
Like, my husband, we met on boats, so he never had a choice, right?
No.
So it's not, it's just approaching it from such a different space and angle that I think you're going to have to start uploading to somewhere different, because I think people need to hear your story, and it upsets me that they can't right now, and I'm...
Oh, we'll get it up. It'll work. Everybody knows that in the sailing world, everybody helps each other. It's just like this tight-knit community. And with this thing happening, like, I got, like, messages from just people I didn't even know knew I existed asking to help. Like, huge channels that are like, hey, like, let me get in touch with my YouTube contact. Let me, like, send emails. People are totally reaching out, just trying to help, which...
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's that, and we are also like heavily involved in like non-sailing YouTube world too. Like, we go to different conferences because I love making videos, so I love YouTube. I'm probably one of the rare sailing channels that's like, I want to be a YouTuber, and then like, I also really like sailing, so I'll do it about sailing. Versus like, I have a boat, and like, we should just make some videos about this. Like, for me, it was never about, like, hey, we have a boat, we should share the story or share it with our family. I was like, no, I want to be a YouTuber. Like, I absolutely love it. You know, I first exposed to it about 15 years ago, met these vloggers, like, changed my whole perspective on life, and I was like, that's what I want to do. But I didn't do it because I procrastinated and I was scared. All that bullshit, you know. So, yeah. So, anyways.
It's scary.
It is. It's
there. We should have some other contacts and people that we can, like, slowly escalate and, eventually get some help with this whole situation.
Okay, can we talk about the scary factor and how, honestly, the scariest part of all of this, not crossing the Pacific Ocean on a sailboat. No, that part's fine. People have been doing that for literally hundreds of years. Putting yourself out there on the internet is scary, and you do it so well and so hard, and I think that we do it okay. We do it with a lot of alcohol.
We do.
We do it with a lot of protection because we're talking about things that we're experts in, and you're talking about something that you are learning, and I think that's so valuable because it shows so many different sides of it that I'm just so impressed by. And I'm sorry that this is the gushiest I've ever been on this show.
She's gushing.
I'm really, it's disgusting. It's completely disgusting. I need to end this podcast because it's getting like way too mushy lovey.
I got to put boots on.
And I'm, yeah. Let's get our foul weather gear on because this is disgusting. I'm drippy. Lord. Okay, I'm ending this. This is done. This has been the Funny Boat Podcast. Bon voyage. You absolute nutballs, but also I love you.
That's right.
Thank you. Okay, now the good stuff can begin.
Ahoy hoy, thank you so much for listening to this. I just wanted to give you a quick update. David Shee does have his YouTube channel back. Go check it out.